Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning, turn to 1 Samuel in chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, you're familiar with this passage. If you went to Sunday school at any time in your life, you have heard the story of David and Goliath. It's an epic battle. There's some direct application for all of us here this morning. I trust that God will arrest our attention and we'll heed. Verse 1 of chapter 17, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between. This battle, this epic battle, takes place southwest of Jerusalem in the hills of Judah. And Israel is encamped on the eastern hillside, and the Philistines encamped on the other, to the north. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, which means splendid. He was a mountain of a man, 9 foot 9 inches tall, a warrior that was feared by everyone. It says there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, or 150 pounds of woven chain. And the weight of the coat, 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. He was, that was additional body armor. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It was stout. It was substantial. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, or 26 pounds. And one bearing a shield went before him. This made him virtually invincible. He was a piece of human artillery. Verse 8 says, and he stood and cried in the armies unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down and fight. And come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words, the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Good versus evil. The Philistines versus Israel. The little guy versus the bully. This is the epic battle, the New Testament Christian versus the culture in which we live. And in this battle, we see a beautiful picture. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of referred to a man named Howard Cosell, and a lot of you remember who he was, and he used to call a lot of prize fights on CBS and NBC, and he was good at it, and we kind of look forward to hearing his voice all of the time. And here is a battle of the ages between, in my mind, I can hear Howard Cosell calling this battle. In the blue corner, a giant of a man, undefeated and untied. And he stands representing the armies of this world. In the red corner, we have the kid shepherd from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem. Untested, underrated. And they're going to meet together for an epic battle. I'm going to try to put this all in some context this morning. And there's some things I want you to see about David in his life. And I trust that that is really what is going to help us here this morning. And we'll get an idea of what is going on. David, in chapter 16, has already been anointed king just in front of his brothers by the prophet Samuel. Already anointed king. Nobody else knows about it. He's 15 years of age. A little bit later on, when he reaches the age of 30, he is anointed king over Judah. And then after that, when he reaches the age of 37, he's anointed king over all of Israel. David lived 70 years. He reigned, beginning with Judah, 40 years of the nation Israel. David ends up, and he defeats them. We know how the story ends. He ends up beating the giant from Gath, the goon from Gath. He ends up beating this giant named Goliath. But the fact is, it didn't start there. It started back in David's life on the hills outside of Bethlehem when he was a shepherd boy. And he would look up into the stars at night and he honored and glorified the Lord God above. He fell in love with the Creator God. He fell in love with his Savior. And in his heart, he ended up being a man after God's own heart. It started there, and then it went, and God chose him over his older brothers, over his seven older brothers. God chose him to be the next king of Israel. So what we're going to read here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it doesn't start with this battle against Goliath. David was a man who loved God. David was a young man who loved God and honored God and just was a man after God's own heart, and that's why God chose him. And then we enter this battle here this morning. And let's just pick up reading with verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. Now picture this. Here's the armies of Israel and King Saul, who is head and shoulders, let's put him over here, head and shoulders over all of his men. He's a warrior himself. There's a valley in between. Over here is the Philistines, and they have a giant. And 80 times... for 40 days, at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, this giant of a man would walk out and he would defy the armies of Israel and the God of Israel. He says, hear this, O Israel, I defy you today. I defy your God. Send me a man that we might fight. And if you win, we'll serve if I'm defeated. If I win, you become our servants. 80 times this happened. For 40 days before the battle would begin in the morning, and when the battle was done at night, they would gather their wounded. They would gather their dead. Goliath would walk out 80 times and defy the armies of Israel and defy the God of Israel. Let's pick up reading with, and Saul's dismayed, greatly afraid. Verse 12 says, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. The man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul, a strong Hebrew family. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, son, take now to thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. This went on daily. Verse 20 says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went and as Jesse had commanded, and he left. Let me just skip right on ahead. All right. So he leaves the carriage, which is the baggage that he carried, the provisions, with the quartermaster, the keeper of the carriages. And he talked with them. And behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Now, David's hearing this. As a young man, he's not yet a warrior, but he knows who God is. He hasn't forgotten who God is. And the men of Israel, they said amongst themselves, have you seen this man? Have you seen this guy that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, he has come up. And it shall be that the man that killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine? And they rehearse it. And David goes among the men. Now, you read this carefully, and here's exactly what happened. David moves among the army of Israel, and he encourages them. He said, we got a God in heaven. They worship a false God. Our God is the true God. Man, buck up, fellas, buck up. And of course, his older brother, he rebukes him. Verse 29 says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the same manner. So he's moving through the men. He's telling them, hey, we got to beat this guy. Somebody's got to fight him. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail thee of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. You know what he says? Sir, this is a young man. I don't think he's 16. This is a young man. The Bible says he was ruddy. Hey, he didn't even shave yet. His shoulders haven't even broadened out yet. He's just a young man. And he says to the king, sir, I'll go. I want to pick up a reading with verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and a man of war from his youth. So, man, you're just a kid. You can't fight Goliath. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. He rehearses the story. He said, listen, I know I'm just a shepherd boy, and I know I'm young, but one day a bear came after my father's flock, and I was able to destroy that bear. One day a lion came and he had a leg of a lamb in his mouth, and I was able to grab that lion by his beard and I was able to destroy him. And by the way, you know why David could do that? Look back at chapter 16 and verse 13. And Samuel took the horn of oil, this is when David was 15, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, that's his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So David had Holy Spirit power in his life. Man, we got to take that to heart as a New Testament church. It wasn't too many weeks ago I preached on being filled with the Spirit of God and having the power of God upon our lives. You know why David could take on Goliath? You know why David had the faith that he had? Because he knew what it was to be surrendered to God, the Holy Spirit. And when Samuel anointed young David in front of his brothers, the Spirit of God came upon David. Then God was preparing David for great things. When that bear came, he killed him with his bare hands. When that lion came, he grabbed him by the beard and he ripped that lion apart with his bare hands. He rehearses this story to Saul, and something about David convinced Saul. Something about this young stripling of a young little boy, King Saul, who was no dummy, who was a warrior himself, he was convinced this kid's got it. Look what it says in verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul tries to put his own armor on him. And of course, Saul's armor is too big for David. There's no way he's going to wear that breastplate. There's no way he's going to wield that sword. There's no way the helmet would be spinning around on the top of his head. There's no, he said, I haven't proved these things. I wouldn't know how to use them. I've got God. That is enough. And now we're going to pick up this story, and it gets real intense here. In just a moment, now you got to put yourself in this place. No poetic license, without reading anything into it. Read the scripture for what it says. Here's the armies of the Philistines, innumerable warriors. Not only Goliath's got some brothers in that group as well. Over here is Israel, King Saul. They fight every day. Before the day starts, Goliath would step out from in front of all the Philistines. Everybody's whooping and hollering back here. And then everybody's quiet. And again, he would defy the armies of Israel. He would defy the very, in a blasphemous way, the very God of Israel. And the Israelites, the Hebrews, they just kind of shake. Nobody wanted to take him on. Here's a little shepherd boy. The kid shepherd, the fighting kid shepherd from Bethlehem. And he's going to take on Goliath. And here's the thing. We're going to read that he does it with a sling. You all know the story. We're going to read that he picks out five stones. You know why he picked out five stones? Goliath has four brothers. We're going to read that he takes what God has already given him. And that's a big, big lesson here this morning. You say, I want to be used of God. God has already put some things in your hand. You already have things on your plate. You don't have to use what somebody else has. You use what God has given to you. Maybe it's treasure. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's personality. Maybe it's position. But whatever God has given to you, that's what you're to use for the glory of God. Let's read the battle here. First thing I want you to know is David has great faith. What some would see as brash and overconfidence is not what David was. David had deep faith. He'd already been in the battles and he'd already seen the power of God in his life. And he knew that God was going to be there with him. And I want to tell you again what you probably already know. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, if you were in Sunday school this morning, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You might get some things done that you don't have to have any faith for. I'm telling you, that really isn't growing you. That really isn't pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we read in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith will never grow until you become a Bible student, until you get in the book yourself and you read and you study and God the Holy Spirit teaches you. That faith, that your faith will grow. And without turning to it, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that God is the author of our faith and he is the finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of our faith and he is the completer of our faith. So if you can get God, the Lord Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit all over your life, you can do great things for God. You couple with what God has put in your hand with faith, you can do great things for God. The giants will fall is what will happen. So the first point this morning is very simple. David had great faith. Think about that. All these soldiers, day after day, Goliath would step out over here and the Philistines would laugh at the God of Israel. David said, is there not a cause? Don't tell me about riches. There's a cause. It's our God. David, the man after God's own heart. Now let's read on. Verse 40 says, and he took his staff in his hand and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand and he drew near the Philistine. In order to get to the brook, David had to leave the Jewish army, leave King Saul, make his way down the valley of Elah, and the brook is at the bottom. And he kneels down in that brook and he finds 5 smooth, straight-throwing stones. And he put them in his bag. And he takes one of those stones, and he puts it in his sling. It isn't a slingshot like you think of today. It was 2 pieces of leather. They'd get that thing, and they were good, all right? But he takes a slingshot, a sling, against the greatest champion of the Philistines. Just go there for a moment. Can you hear the armies? Can you hear the Philistines when Goliath would come out and challenge them, beating their shields and whooping and hollering and doing everything they can to intimidate? And then Goliath would step forth and everything would quiet down and he would challenge the armies of God and God himself. And nobody would move. And he'd step back to the lines and the battle would begin. Well, this time, a little boy breaks ranks over here. A young man kneels down, picks up the 5 stones, verse 41 again. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, the man that bare the shield with him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he gets closer, he sees it's David, doesn't know David by name, but as a punk kid, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves? Am I a dog? Did you come unto me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now here's great focus. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He stays focused. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. He said, Goliath, not only am I going to kill you, not only am I going to remove your head, but the carcasses of the armies of the Philistines as well. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. Here's a reason that there is a God in Israel. Great focus. It wasn't about David. David had great faith. It was all about Jesus. It was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear the world today? Can you hear the champions of Satan today defying the armies of God, defying the church of Jesus Christ, defying the captain of the Lord's hosts, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, mocking him? Can you hear his armies mocking him? There's got to be some Davids. There's got to be some people with just some simple things in their hands that have great faith and great focus. And I will tell you, don't take the armies of the world, the culture, don't take their mocking personally, because they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus taught us that in the Gospel of John. They're going to hate you because they hate me. So don't take it personal. You're not that big. I'm not that big. Neither one of us. But may we have great focus, may we have great faith, and there's going to be a great fight. In verse 47, David points out, this is bigger than you or me. He says in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David had enough faith to know the battle is God's. And David knew, and he understood that he was going to use him as a young man, not a warrior, but as a shepherd to beat the best that the Philistines had. He was going to use him to show all of Israel and all of the Philistines and all of the world that would hear about it that there's a God in Israel, and he's the true God of heaven. You know what? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is trying to build his church in a culture of darkness. I can't help but go back to it. I'm sorry. I know I quoted a lot. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Man, if we would just understand that, if God would just, and he will if we're willing, just raise up some Davids. You say, what do I got to do to be a David? Fall in love with Jesus. Forget about the riches and the promises of the world. And just fall in love with Christ. Take what you have, that sling, that shepherd's bag. Just take what you got and give it to God and allow God to use you. Oh, man, great was the fight. Let's pick up the pace here a little bit. Verse 28, it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, now they're ready, getting ready to meet, that David didn't hide behind a bush. He didn't run for cover. It said David hasted and ran towards the enemy to meet the Philistine. Now get the picture here. David's already at the bottom of the valley. The armies of God, they're up on this hillside. The Philistines are up on this hillside. David's at the depth of the valley where the brook is. He picks up these five stones, and now Goliath is starting to move towards him. David is charging uphill to meet the Philistine. Everything's against this kid. Everything humanly possible that could be against him is against him. And let's pick up reading. Let's read some more here. The Philistine arose. David hasted. Verse 49. David put his hand in his bag. This is while he's running. And took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Listen, before the battle ever gets started, Goliath is beaten. Before Goliath ever gets within arm's reach of David where he can rip him limb from limb, the Goliath, the giant of Gath, the goon from Gath, he's already defeated. David lets that stone fly. The stone hits him and hits him right between the eyes. Hits Goliath, and I'm sure he stands there for just a moment, stunned. And then he begins to stagger. And he falls on his face. And the Philistines are shocked. This is the best they have. And a Jewish kid, a shepherd boy, has defeated him. David runs up. The armor bearer runs, the scripture says. David runs up. All he's got is a sling. He doesn't have a sword. He takes Goliath's own sword, probably has to two-hand that big sword, and he cuts off the head of Goliath. And we're going to finish reading here in just a moment. And you know what he does with that head? He picks it up, that bloody head. And all of Israel cheers. And the Philistines, they're in rout. Man, they are running. And it is that's a running fight for 15 miles where the Philistines are defeated. Let's read on here. It says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Verse 51. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Get the big picture. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherarim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. That's 8 miles and then another 5 miles. So it's a total of 13 miles. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine. He still had it. David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him, brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Big picture, great focus, great faith, great fight, and then a great future. If you will take what God has given to you, God will use you and the giants will fall. You'll become a giant slayer. There are young men here that are called to preach. If you'll take, you don't need a lot of ability, just take what you got. Surrender it to God. He'll enable you. He'll give you everything you need. There are people here, you're self-employed. Give your business to God. Give your business. He'll take what you've got. You give what you got to him. He'll use it. You know, whatever the wherewithal, whatever the time is, you got time in your hand. Give it to God. God will use it. There is a great future. There is a big picture. You say, man, I don't think God could use me. You remember Moses? Moses, God, he said, God, I can't lead these people. They're not going to listen to me. Moses, what's in your hand? Well, I got a staff. It's a stick. Moses, throw it down. He throws it down, it becomes a snake. Moses, pick it up. Moses picks it up, and it becomes a staff again. He threw it down. When he threw it down, it was the rod of Moses. When he picked it back up, it was the rod of God. I don't know what God has given to you, but give it to God. Throw it down, and then pick it up as a surrendered servant of God, and he'll use you, and he will use you greatly. What a picture. What a picture. It's got to be some Davids. Don't run from the Goliaths. Don't be that person that shirks responsibility and shrinks in the battle. Boy, that's something David did not do, did he? He did not shrink from the battle. Everybody else was. Everybody else just kind of disappeared because the battle was hot and in array and man, it was going to be mano a mano, one man against Goliath. Who could possibly do that? A young man filled with the Spirit of God. Say, preacher, tell me again, how do I get full? Well, number one, you got to be saved. You need to be born again. If you're not born again, not born of the Spirit of God, not born and adopted into the family of God, that's the first thing you got to do. You need to repent of your sin and ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the Lord to give you eternal life, and he'll do that. He'll hear that prayer every single time. Then secondly, in order to be filled with, that's a one-time event. You get born again one time. That's it. That's it. You're born into the family of God. Your name is written down. Nothing will take it out. What a wonderful truth that is. That is security. Now to be used of God, you need to surrender. You need to empty yourself of your stinking pride. Amen. You got to empty yourself of your stinking self-will because it's putrid to God. He said, I'll resist the proud every time and I'll give grace to the humble. So you empty yourself of yourself and you ask God, you surrender. That's all you do. God, use me today. God, use me in this next hour. I've got something I got to do and I can't do it on my own. I need the power of God. Now, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But we take that, we let the old nature reign too often. But if you'll surrender, you let him, God will fill you. God will use you greatly.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.